Hi, I'm Joni De Winter.
And I am Susan Grant.
And we are Bell Street,
who are an events band and a production company.
And we're here to talk to you today about our fun and failures.
And our journey from being scared to doing it anyway.
Yes. You know what's frustrating?
Go on.
That to make this podcast, this beautiful, lovely, creative podcast that we love making, is we have to get over so many technical hurdles that make me want to break things, you know, that are already apparently broken. It's a daily struggle, as Jean-Paul would say.
I was confused because the sign is behind us and that caught me off guard when you pointed to say we are Bell Street, because we are.
Well, I see that's another technical thing, because the sun hits the mirror and then it goes, wah, but there's nowhere else in my house that's tidier because we can't afford a studio yet. So, you know, all the obstacles, but here we are.
Studio's on the manifesting list though, isn't it? Or a room that can always be set up.
Yeah, just a spare room with no evidence of anyone else in it. It'd be beautiful, wouldn't it? How do you cope with that? Let's talk about creative spaces for a minute.
Yeah.
Because we struggle with that, don't we? Mm-hmm. Like, you're either paying to book out a room. So we often book out a dance studio, or that's the main thing we book out, or a theatre.
Yeah.
But it costs money, doesn't it? And when you're not making money because you're building something, like this podcast isn't making money, so, you know, the idea of spending hundreds of pounds to film it.
Yeah.
Although, to be honest, my stress levels would be like,
they would.
If we did do that.
They would, if we could just walk in somewhere and it was all sort of just ready and you just pressed go.
Yes. That's and it. There was someone powdering your face.
Okay. One thing at a time.
But it's important to have the right space to make your creation in, isn't it? I guess that's why, like, if you're an artist and you just, all you want is a studio, but you have to use your dining room table and things like that. We're with you if you're on in that place.
Well, it is important though to find a space, especially when we're rehearsing. It's fine to do it in the house in someone's house,
yes,
or to go and meet, even going and meeting, go and meet a cafe or a pub or something, just to do the creative stuff of
admin
and being out of your own space.
Yeah.
But actually hiring a studio or even
an office.
Yeah.
I dream of our office.
Okay.
Right. We've always said it would have a drinks fridge.
Yep.
Now it would need some kind of coffee machine.
Yeah.
Okay. And then posters of all our previous exploits. Yeah. I was going to say, not exploits, not those posters, our previous productions, because somewhere in a cellar in Shaftesbury there's massive
huge posters
of things we've done, and we've kept all the posters and programs, and it would be so cool to have them everywhere and just look around on a bad day and be like, we did that and we can do it again.
I love that, somewhere in a cellar in Shaftesbury. That's great. So if you want to go looking around the cellars,
they're probably a bit mouldy.
Yeah. They were there last time I was in that cellar.
Yeah. What else would you have in your office space? Or your creative space?
I would want a view.
Yes.
A window and a view.
Yeah.
Yeah. And some outside space as well, to be able to just go and breathe.
Yeah. Because often when we're looking at booking a writing day or a goal setting day, we're like, there needs to be outside.
Yeah.
And there needs to be food.
Yes.
Because they're the two things that sustain us.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there are some beautiful spaces.
Mm.
We are very lucky around here. There's lots of choice. We're just not in the position at the minute. Well, you can invest in it, can't you? You can specifically invest in times, but you can't do it all the time. Yeah. Otherwise, we'd just be having lunch looking at beautiful views all the time.
Yes. So put it on the list and it will appear at some point.
So actually, it leads on quite nicely to what we wanted to talk about today.
Yes.
Sort of. If you squint and do this. If we wanted to get back to talking a bit about the creative process, because we've been talking to so many fantastic guests. We've even started recording the guests for next season, which is very exciting.
Yeah.
And it's also inspiring. And it's the reason we get the guests in is because we want to know how they're doing what they're doing. It's something about what they're doing has caught our eye, and we've found an indoor with them somehow, and that all then affects our creative process. And that's what we wanted with this podcast to do, is share our creative process and also share those tips with other people who are trying to get through and make something new and make something creative, whether you're making a podcast or an artist, or you just want to express yourself, or you're a theatre company. Do you think any theatre companies watch us?
I don't know.
Let us know.
But I think we've been quite surprised with listening to different stories from some of our guests about actually there is a really common thread of how people view the industry. We're quite inspired by how people get on with it. About the fact, as you get older, and for us, we've got children. Is it okay to sort of be starting now? Now we've been going a few years, but this is where we are taking off in a different way and creating faster than we were before.
Yes.
And with our guest yesterday, who will be in season two, it was really nice to sort of talk to her. She's in the industry, similar age, and actually sort of is a lot calmer with it now and really flying in her field. And so actually being...
And hit her goals.
Yeah.
At our age.
Yeah.
Like... What you imagine when you're 15 and you're like, I'm going to be in this and da-da-da. And by 25, I'm going to be doing this. And, you know, lots of us don't. But she hit that goal at 40-something and, you know, is living it.
Yeah.
It's really exciting.
So, manifesting a space, we can hit that goal at
40-something.
We've still got quite a lot of 40s to go.
Yeah, we've got loads of 40s to go. Loads. Back to our creative process chat. Yes, so where are we at? I hear you ask.
All of you.
We are... So at the beginning of this season, we talked about the fact that we were planting some seeds and we were beginning to work on a couple of new projects. And we did make it seem very mysterious, exotic and exciting, didn't we, actually?
We did, yeah.
And we had some people come up to us and say, oh, I'm so excited. And then I thought, oh, no. I hope they're still excited when they find out what it is. Mm. So we've been working on two completely different shows. One that we want to kind of... is a bit more predictable, I suppose. Well, actually, it's a bit left field for us. And one that is actually more predictable, I suppose, but less mainstream.
Yes.
So one of the projects we have started to do, and I'm not sure where the thought process came from, but we've decided to do a show called The Rat Pack Gals. That's G-A-L-S, but we refrained from using a Z. We thought that was too far. So The Rat Pack Gals is going to be us covering classic Rat Pack songs, and... But it has developed, of course it has developed, from being just, let's do something where we can say, this is what we're doing, this is what you can expect, and you can hear lots of songs from the Rat Pack sung by two females. We have now, of course, developed it into a show that we want to take to theatres.
Well, because it was going to be, we were looking at the beginning of the year about our different... products and packages, as Jason Ward had said.
Yeah, he gets a lot of name drops, doesn't he?
He does, yeah. We needed to be sellable for people who can book us so that we can be paid money.
Yes.
So that we can then
hire
develop
a studio.
The creative side.
Get our nails done.
Powder and nails, that's right.
Powder and nails.
So we thought, right, okay, well, people love that sort of brand.
And we love that era.
Yep.
To sing.
And people do seem to like a tribute not that we are being a tribute, but it, people know what you're going to get if you talk about Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin. I mean, they're all a bit low for us.
What do you mean low?
Oh, low.
The songs.
But that's fine. We worked that out. So it was originally going to be just something we sort of...
just like a tribute.
Threw out there, really, so that we could get some more work. And then we had a photo shoot and we did a poster, and then we were going to... well, we are taking it as a bit of a trial.
As it's a launch.
A launch. Yeah, it's not a trial anymore.
No.
To Sorelle down in Mockham. I believe tickets are still available at this moment.
Yes. But hurry.
Yeah. And so we're going to launch it there. And it was just going to be an hour of us singing. And now it is, we have to develop it into a show because we don't know how to do anything else.
Yes. And we started to discuss, well, why? Why are two women singing these songs by these like rowdy millionaire lads who basically nowadays would be, we discussed this, didn't we? Who do we think they'd be? Like, not Elton John, but no, not Elton John.
A bit older.
That kind of, like, really rich, very in with all the powerful people.
Yeah.
Yeah. So why then are two women singing this? So we thought we'd, in the show, we might talk a bit about that. And the fact that the kind of irony of the two not millionaires, who are women, who stand for, you know, power to them.
But they also had quite a lot of influential women around them as well.
Yeah, they did.
So we are touching on that a little
bit. Yeah, so we're telling the stories of the women around them, and also, yeah, just including a bit more of a tale.
Mm. And actually, we have been approached by a theatre to actually put the full show on.
So now it's a show.
In the autumn.
And so now we have decided that we're going to take it to smaller theatres, take it round. Because we think that actually we could tell the story quite well.
Mm. And as for everything we do, we still have this imposter syndrome and this fear of actually putting ourselves out there in certain ways. The thought of a theatre show, we've talked about it a lot, but it's always been quite daunting. A lot of our previous stuff is fringe style, which is an hour-ish. Mm-hmm. So then when you're going to the theatre, what else do you do? Because unless it is a fringe sort of event, do you go to the theatre for an hour?
Yeah.
So the fact now we have a two-act show. Well, nearly.
Yes. It's going to be great. And I'm really excited about it. It is something different for us.
Yeah.
And it's been really interesting how it's evolved from a kind of idea of a theme to much, much more.
Mm-hmm.
And that does seem to be where our hearts always take us, doesn't it? Some kind of story and some kind of show.
Yeah. So the other project that we have is a fringe style project, because we are booked in for a couple of fringe festivals already.
Yes.
With a show that we have written it.
Well, it's inspired by a show we've already done.
Yes.
And we loved the way it felt. We loved the way it kind of connected with the audience. We loved the way it allowed us to be as characters. And so we wanted to make it better and give it more time and more. Again, we've learned over the last year or so that it's so important that people can kind of have a hint of what they're getting when they are parting with their money to come and see a show.
And yesterday we had a really, really creative day, but we went off on a tangent, didn't we?
We always do.
We wrote a completely different song for it.
Yes.
Parody.
It's a parody.
That we never thought was going to be in there.
No.
And now we think it's brilliant.
But what... So this show is called Glitter, Guilt and Good Intentions. And we wanted to write something we could identify with as real people and then exaggerate as the characters that are Bell Street.
Mm-hmm.
So we are constantly wrestling with our identity and, you know, trying to achieve more, be better people, keep ourselves alive, you know, all of those things. But it's exhausting and it never goes right. And we just want to wanted to write about that, really. And so it turns out when you start writing about something like that, it just kind of flows out of you. And it's something that we feel like a lot of people can connect with, because the kind of wellness culture is huge at the minute. And it's not necessarily a bad thing, but it is hard work if you get too much into it, isn't it?
Well, there's so much conflicting stuff.
There is.
There's common sense, and then there's knowledge as well, and then there's loads of things that people tell you you should do that then can conflict with stuff that you've already read about. Yeah. Or because we're, as individuals, actually we all need something different, really. We have pulled on this a little bit, and it sort of comes from our original idea ages ago that was going to be this feeling and theme of being seen, mainly as women, because we are women.
Yeah.
And we've done quite a lot of research with other women of varying ages about feeling seen, whether, and we've talked about it before on the podcast, but at different ages, as children, as teenagers, as then being young adults, as then maybe being married or maybe having a baby and then a divorce and then getting older, and all these different stages.
Just exhausted.
Everyone. We all have to just keep showing up, and men as well, but as women it does feel...
Well, we are women, so we talk about what we know.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
We are women.
The multitasking is endless.
How many times have we said that? We are women.
We are just proving. Just so you know.
Yes, but do you know what? I was listening, talking about what we about creating this project. I was listening to Jason Mumford on Radio 2.
Right.
And he was talking about his tour. And he was like, I feel like such a fraud when I... set up my tour, because you make a poster, you call it something, and people buy tickets.
Yeah.
And you're like, and then your agent rings you and says, oh, you know, you sold out in Cardiff or whatever, and you're like, that's fraud, I haven't written it yet, it's just a title. Now, we haven't sold out in Cardiff, but we do, that is the way that we like to work, and it's so reassuring when you hear that, like, successful people do that too.
Yeah.
You know, you make a title. Because you have to be 18 months in advance, a year in advance, 6 months in advance. Everybody wants the artwork, everybody wants the description.
Yeah.
And you have to, because otherwise people can't promote it, you can't get booked in places, and you haven't finished writing it yet.
Mm.
So you've just got to go with the vibe. And I always thought that was just us winging it, but I don't think it is. I've seen more and more evidence that that's what creative people do.
And trusting that process, like
yeah.
we talked about. Actually, we had a tech meeting with a company that we have, with a fringe that we have worked with before, but we're not local to them. And she was like, well, I know that the show will be developing, but at the moment, will you have explosives or whatever in it? And we were like,
ooh, good idea.
At the moment, we don't.
No.
But actually, but it was nice to speak to somebody who also, she just wanted a vague idea
yeah.
so that it's appropriate for the audience.
Yeah.
And if we did want sort of elephants and fireworks,
yeah,
probably wouldn't fit in that venue actually. But it was nice to see that they are quite happy for it to be what it's going to be.
But it's like if you book an exhibition and you're an artist, you know, even if you book at Shaftesbury
yeah.
Art Centre Gallery, for example, because that's, let's talk about what we know.
Yeah.
You need to book 2 years in advance, 18 months in advance. You need a title for your exhibition.
Yeah.
And then you work towards that. So it's just nice to have that, well, A, that feeling of we're not weird and flying by the seat of our pants all the time in a way that is more than other people.
Yeah.
And also, yeah, I think always that reassurance that other people are doing the same as you is
yeah.
is encouraging. Even Jason Mumford. Hi, Jason Mumford.
But once you make that commitment, you then have to do it.
Yes.
I think that's what I feel, because that's sort of how I live my life. If I say I'm going to do it, then I'll do it.
Yeah, well, we're both quite like that, aren't
and
we?
And so actually putting it out there to go, right, well, it's here then. Let's see what happens.
And yeah. this comes down again to giving yourselves a deadline, which we talk about all the time, because if you're like us and you're slight procrastinators, or you get easily distracted on a tangent and you don't have a very good spreadsheet person, you need to give yourself a deadline, because that's the motivation.
Yeah.
The shame of not having it done
yes.
is the motivation. So we have this fringe where it will be the kind of one of the first times we do Glitter, Guilt and Good Intentions. So we've given ourselves that deadline, and we've also given ourselves a deadline 3 days before that where we're having a test show, just in case. But it also means we'll be doubly ready for the Saturday. Otherwise, we wouldn't be quite ready for the Saturday.
And it's with an audience that we know are on our side.
Yes.
And we'll have a good time, whatever.
Yeah. It's with our, basically, we thought, who could be our target audience if we were picking a group of people?
Mm.
Where can we go to find those people? Here. And so that's really exciting.
Yeah.
And it's really helped us because now we have to work to that time structure.
Mm-hmm.
But we've almost tricked ourselves with a couple of fake deadlines, because then after the Fringe in May, which is the Chichester Fringe in May, we then have our next show of that booked in July at the Shaftesbury Fringe, which will be a two-show weekend. And we want to have a really good handle on that show by then. We want any tweaks from May we will have been able to make, and that's really exciting.
Yeah.
And we've pulled other people in this time.
Yes.
So rather than being the Joni and Susan show, which it still is.
That's what life is, isn't it?
To us. Yeah, it is. Rather than just being that, we are writing with some people for this show. We really want two original songs, which may not be completely done by May, but will be completely done by July, because we've given ourselves that deadline. And we're writing with great songwriters, so possibly even finished by May. And we haven't really written with people. People have written for us before, but we haven't written... Well, actually, no, that's a lie. We wrote with Ellis.
We did.
Yeah.
But that was very early on, and we were all flailing.
Yes.
But we'd
have probably not even called ourselves writing a song then. We'd have found a way for it not to have been that, so that it wasn't too scary. But we did write with Ellis.
Yeah.
Sorry, Ellis. That was fantastic.
And actually, one of the songs that we wrote for Hugh the Musical has stuck, and we would really... I mean, they're all good fun. But that one in particular, we did have a connection with, and so we're going to look at adapting it and rewriting it a little bit so it's a bit more relevant. We can put it into this show as well if we wish.
Well, it had a high comedy moment in Hugh the Musical, song. And actually, the words to this song meant a lot to us when we wrote it.
Mm.
And those words kind of got lost in the hilariousness of leather and hairdryers.
So I feel a bit strange that when we sing it again, that comedy moment won't be there because everyone reacted so well to it.
Yeah, but it was kind of like a shield, which means you didn't have to be as vulnerable with it.
But everyone loved that. So that will take a little bit of getting over. But once we've rewritten the words, they don't want to be lost, so we can't do it again.
And we'll be singing it together. So how will you cope with that?
Well, I don't know yet.
I can cut this out, but I had a dream about our song last night. From Hugh, my one.
Mm.
Actually, we definitely have to cut this out, but let me quickly tell you, is that... Anyway, there was a small pause for an insecurity dream there.
Remember to edit it.
Oh yeah, I must. But yes, so what's interesting that we haven't done about this project before is the evolution of it, which is what we kind of assumed maybe that we would do with Hugh, that it would keep evolving, and it could have kept evolving. It's just we decided the title was fundamentally too hard to sell.
Yeah.
But
it's all a learning curve.
It is a learning curve, yeah. And so this evolving, what was the show called last year? Not Just BS.
Yeah.
No.
Beyond.
That's what this podcast is.
Beyond the BS.
And we wanted to talk about the podcast. So it's evolved from being a kind of a chat show idea to just a cabaret.
Mm.
So come and see it if you can, because it's going to be interesting.
And for those of you that have seen us before, especially with the shows, there will be audience participation. So we don't want you to feel that you'll be missing out on that.
No one will miss out.
There'll be some sort of petticoat or a maraca or something like that. So, come and join us.
We've even worked a maraca into the Rat Pack show, haven't we?
We have, yeah.
So there's always going to be the chance if you want to be part of the Joni and Susan show. This might make us sound naive, but let's do a quick crash course in. We have recently binge-watched Smash, which is a TV series from when? 2013. Yeah, it's very 2013 if you watch it. Like, a little bit cringy, but...
It's got some brilliant, brilliant people in it.
It's got Megan Hilty in it. It's got Angelica Houston. Do you say it? Houston or Houston?
Angelica Houston. It's got Jeremy Jordan in it.
Yeah. That Deborah
Messing.
From Will and Grace.
Yes.
And some brilliant cameos, including Liza Minnelli.
Yeah.
And some fantastic songs. And remember, Charlie, who, when we were a trio, Charlie was number three with us. And she used to talk about it all the time. And I didn't think it was on a channel that I had.
I never watched it. Our musical that we did, Diva.
Yeah.
We did a song from that. That was our opener.
The main song.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's the background of that. So finally, thank you, Charlie, 10 years later. I've watched it and Susan watched it as well, and it's been really interesting to watch. It's all about the process of making a musical, obviously on Broadway, with amazing budgets and casts. But what's really fascinating about it has been how they've documented the process. Obviously it's fictional, obviously it's exaggerated, but I really don't think its process of making the musical is that far from real life. Obviously, the dramas maybe are slightly exaggerated. But it's been really helpful to watch.
Well, to watch them writing the songs and the script, and when things don't work.
Having to let really important bits that they've written that they feel really strongly about, having to let it go because of a budget or because of an actor.
Because of a producer wanting something different as well. Keeping the authenticity of what you originally saw, but being allowed to be creative with it. It was...
And how many people are involved?
Yeah.
And how much you have to lean on other people. And the workshopping process, that's what I found really inspiring, was I kind of wish then we'd had that budget. Of course I wish we had that budget. But if we'd have had something like that when we were working on Hugh the Musical, it would have evolved so, I think, so well.
Yeah.
Also, it's about a duo that write together.
Yeah. I mean, it's just about to go on Broadway, isn't it? It's
musical. Yeah, and they've just made it into a show. So if anyone wants to sponsor us to go and review it, we would love that.
Yeah, Broadway. We were going to actually see if we could pop over to Vegas as well, to go and do a bit of research on the Rat Pack.
So a little tour, yeah.
Yeah. So what is it we're manifesting, or
a studio? You
know, looking for anyone who wants to.
Yes.
Give us a studio with some brilliant equipment, a drinks fridge and a view.
And a coffee machine.
And a coffee machine, yeah. Water and coffee, that's all we need really, isn't it? And food.
Yes.
A trip to Broadway.
Yeah, to see Smash.
Yeah.
Possibly meet the cast and the writers. I'd love to meet the writers. We could find out their names, but whoever wrote Smash, the concept, I mean, we need them on this podcast.
Yeah.
And we need to go to Vegas
for
some research as well and to promote the show. So
excellent.
That'd be great if we could do that.
Yeah. But then our guest yesterday, who you will hear all about next season, she recommended... somewhere in London that we should go and do our show, which, I mean, it's, and we were saying afterwards, it's just a venue, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, she's performing in one of the top few West End shows, and she's like, and I'm here, and like me 10 years ago would have been like, you're amazing. Yeah. But me today is like, oh, it's just a job and I've got to work really hard. And you're like, right, so everywhere is just a show.
Yeah.
We're going to be braver. We're always trying to be braver, but... talking to more and more people does encourage us to be braver, because it's just inspiring seeing people stick their neck out a bit and then not have their head chopped off.
Yeah. Yeah, that's always good.
Yeah.
And we do, for those on Facebook, we do have this community that we've tried to set up for creatives, which is anybody really, because anything anyone does has a creative element. So whether you have a project or not, we have this little community that we would like people to join with us. So we have sort of a safe space, because we have to let you in, as we've said before, if you're a robot or not. But to be somewhere where you can share your ideas, or have somewhere that you can show up with
something you're struggling with, or a goal.
Or just see what we're doing and what we're struggling with, personally and as Bell Street. But also, we would really like people to post in there. And I know it's a bit of a faff sometimes, but the whole point of it is that we want people to tell us what they're doing so that we can be inspired as well and can show up for other people.
Yeah.
So we are thinking of some different ways of how we can get you to post
to motivate people.
So please join the group and then keep an eye out over the next week.
When you're in groups,
yeah,
and I feel the same, when you're in groups, you feel like you're not the person who should be saying anything,
yeah,
because you don't have, you're not the right, like I'm in a group for people who make podcasts. I never say anything because I feel like, well, what do I know? But actually, we're on season 3 of a podcast that is doing fairly well and people enjoy listening to, and we've got a lot out of, and we've learned a lot. I should post in there, but I don't, and I stay quiet because I think it's not for me, and I just watch.
But some people love to post as well. Yes. And so I think that's the, there's a certain group that I'm with which is very supportive, but it, I read other people's long messages, which is great, because the whole point is that you get it out there.
Mm.
But I think, well, how can I now put in, you know,
blah, blah, blah,
a video of us doing the can-can or something, you know, when they've told me, like, poured their heart out. The whole point is, though, it's a space to just throw anything out, and if people want to react with you or not.
Because the joy of being creative is everyone's so different. So, you know, there's always going to be somebody who's feeling a little bit like you, who doesn't feel like they can say it because no one else has said it yet.
Mm.
And we can only be like us.
We can,
sadly.
But we want to hear from you.
Yes. We also have another guest next week who's great. Ben
Hurley,
who is a brilliant actor and dancer. We are really excited about next week's episode, but also the week after, we're going to bring back the question and answer episode, basically because we enjoyed the last one so much. So we're going to be messaging our previous guests, see if they want to ask us anything.
Yep.
I mean, the response rate is about 1 in 10, so we'll see.
But you can ask us anything. We just pop us a message, and really, I mean, we might have to choose if we're going to answer it.
Last time we answered every question.
We did. There wasn't anything. There wasn't anything actually that was too uncomfortable. It was fine.
No, it was fine.
So yeah, we are open books for you.
We are now. Yeah. So we'd love to hear a question about anything to do with Bell Street, the new projects, the creative posters, the podcast guests.
Yeah.
The pets.
Yeah. How to get in touch with any of the guests if you, you know,
really to see the pets.
All the pets.
All the pets. We'd love that. And we love to hear what's been connecting with you. So, yeah, thank you. We really appreciate everybody who's still listening or watching.
And if you know anyone around the Chichester area, or you fancy a little jaunt to Chichester.
It's a lovely town. Is it a town or a city?
Oh, it's a city.
Sorry, Chichester. It's a lovely city.
But we're in quite a small venue there. It's May.
It's May.
And it's Saturday. We're there the 31st. And it's called The Jam. And it's a little cafe upstairs.
Yeah, they're just looking up performance space. Lovely cabaret style. And a really great fringe. Check out everything else they're doing there, because they really work hard to make sure their artists are looked after and promoted and have opportunities to talk about what they're doing. And that's quite unique, you know. Mm. We love Shaftesbury Fringe and we love Chichester Fringe as
well. Chichester Fringe, and they have really grown massively over the last few years. So catch us there or at Shaftesbury Fringe. They're early ones actually, aren't they? Shaftesbury Fringe shows.
Yes.
I mean, we're all over the place.
Brunch. Well, we'll do brunch again, so you can have a little glass of Bucks Fizz and a pastry. A
little pastry. And we're singing as Bell Street.
Yeah.
As well on the Friday.
Yeah.
And then we've got a little bit of
doing some BVs.
Yeah, with a band.
It's very exciting.
And we get to wear different clothes for that as well, because we're not Bell Street.
No, we probably will still match in some
Should
way.
Should we go blonde for that?
We don't want to take the limelight away, do we? We're supposed to fade into the background and it's like, headline on Mrs. Alfred, Bell Street has new hair. That would be would be a slow news day, wouldn't it?
It would be. Well, depends where the peacocks are.
Wherever you're at in your creative process or your creative project, remember,
trust the process,
post in the group,
manifest,
and just do it anyway. It's like the red shoes, but not as beautiful because we're in trousers.
Okay.
It's not like the red shoes. I just mean we're always, you know, scrap that. It's not like the red shoes. I do love the red shoes, though.
No, hopefully no one dies at the end.
Well, we don't know, do we?
Wait, Bill.
You can use this clip.